Friend Barry.
Oh, it's going to get emotional. It's the final Fridays with Fran of the season. Dundalk wrapping up their Friday nights. And we've got Fran in town to give us hopefully plenty of winners. I'm sure he will. He'll also look ahead to Aintree. The Grand National Festival continues. And he's got not just a winner, but he's got the first four for us in the Grand National. And one for us in the Mersey Novice Hurdle as well. It's going to be emotional, as I said. The final Fridays with Fran of the season. And it's straight from the horse's mouth. It's the last dance, the final Fridays with Fran of the season. Dundalk coming to a close on Friday evening. Or is it, Fran Berry? Because what have they gone and done? They've snuck in another card.
Weather has forced the hand, if you like. Bellistown PK on Saturday. Obviously meant to be a full flat card there, it called off. So sensible decision to transfer to Dundalk. And it's actually, at first glance at least, after decks, a good look to it. Four maidens on the card and some interesting types. Ryan Moore, Grand National Saturday night, he'll be in Dundalk. So he's there Friday and Saturday. So I think it'll be a good watching card, if nothing else. And if you failed to back to win a Grand National, we might say you should tune into Racing TV. We'll find something that'll win in Dundalk, hopefully on Saturday night. But we need to find a few for Friday night first.
That's the main thing. But first off, how do you feel with this being our last dance for the season? You all right?
Emotional. Yeah. And do you know what? It still feels like winter, which is the worst thing.
It's not raining right now, but it is due to absolutely. And even sure, the Masters Golf, which is supposed to start in about an hour and a half, that's been pushed back because of rain as well. It's just everywhere.
Yeah, and a good golf form guru told me yesterday, back Lowry and another live player who's, I'll have to check the text, of course.
Joaquin Neiman?
Because they're starting late tonight and that was a theory, but he was hoping it wouldn't be delayed at all, you know, so that the amount of early players could get out and make mess themselves. But anyway, good theory. I'll be cheering on Larry anyway, so I like him, and he's my interested present for the Jordan Spieth is the other one.
He's not Liv. But anyway, like he's not a Liv golfer. Okay, producer.
Oh, Cameron Young as well. There you go. That's his trees. Cameron Young's Liv.
Cameron Young. I know Cameron Smith is definitely Liv. I'm not sure Cameron Young is. Maybe he is. But anyway, producer Mark is nudging me. He's got loads for me to update you on, including a free bet available to Paddy Power customers on the website, and that you can opt in. You have to opt in and claim that free bet for Friday's card at Aintree. If you listen to this before Aintree's card on Friday. So do check out the link in the show notes for the full T's and C's to claim that. The punters panel was shot on Monday. It was brilliant, really good. We got Mick Fitz, Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, and the enigmatic Tom Nugent hosting, and there were some cracking questions in particular for Mick Fitz. It's worth a watch if you have about half an hour. It's on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel.
You can see why his first marriage didn't work really on it, isn't it?
That is a beautiful setup. Thank you very much, Fran Berry. That's all you need to know. So yes, it is really, really good. And that question comes early as well. Brilliant stuff from Mick Fitz. On the same very channel, on all the Paddy Power social channels, Finders Keepers, 8:30 every morning during Aintree. $5,000 dropped into random Paddy Power accounts every few minutes. All you got to do is log on and claim the money. You just got to withdraw it. So that's it, easy peasy. I'm not sure how many winners there were on Friday. Hopefully there's a few. I know Tom Nugent was getting wet. And he was in a leaky room as he was hosting.
Not too many winners from what I could see anyway this morning listening on you.
Yeah. That's loads on Friday and Saturday then. Fingers crossed. That's good morning, Aintree. But you get plenty of tips as well, as well as a bit of crack. And that's on all the Paddy Power social channels in conjunction with the Racing Post and Horse Power. That's horsepwr.co.uk or .com, I think. Just check it out if you haven't done already. It's a big weekend for horse welfare. Loads of people chatting about, is horse racing kind of cruel or otherwise? Facts. You'll get facts on that website in terms of what happens to horses after racing, how they get to the racetrack, from foal to racehorse, athletes that they are, and how they're treated. It's a really, really good read and gives you some stats and facts. I know I found it useful when having chats with people who are kind of home and home, whether racing is worth going to. Okay, I got through all the bits. There you go, producer Mark. We'll talk about Dundalk, and what we're going to do in between Dundalk races, Fran, we'll chat about Aintree, we'll chat about your day on student race day at Leopardstown on Wednesday, amongst other things. You big glamazon, yeah. You big glamazon, that's all you are. But let's talk about Dundalk. 4:30, you made number 5 furlongs. It is a bunch of newcomers, 3 horses who've made the track, and Big Money Hef, after his big money move after out of Ballydoyle. He rides Besiege here for Josh Halley, who I'm going to assume is related to John Halley, because the same colours. Or at least very similar, who's the vet at Ballydoyle, wasn't he, for a long time?
Still is, yeah. Yeah, one of the most prominent veterinary practitioners in the country, of course. And yeah, resident almost vet, I'd imagine, in Ballydoyle. Besiege and Bamako are two starting points. Both of them, PK started life at, on the track at Dundalk 17 days ago. And both of them shaped and promised like they could each win a race. In particular, Bamako was very, very boisterous in the parade ring beforehand. I was glad it wasn't Billy Lee trying to get up at him when I seen the way he was playing up, but he did behave once he got to the start. And he and Besiege both shaped like did improve a lot for the run. I think they'll need to, though, even with the benefit of a run, not just sure how good that race was. The winner of Morning Vietnam as well punted and won accordingly, won really well, but there was 3 or 4 of them in line a long way back on that occasion, 4 lengths behind Morning Vietnam. And even with the benefit of a run, I think they may have more to do to take on a couple of better bred newcomers, if you like. And Proudly Yours takes that box, trained by Ger Lyons. This one is from a very, very good family. Trevor Stewart has had a number of good mares over the years and is a half-sister. I have a half-sister to Victoria Road, who won the Breeders' Cup and may well have won a maiden at Dundalk, Victoria Road, off the top of my head, back in his juvenile days. But on pedigree, on breeding, he's definitely the horse he'd like to be with. Noel Mead has had a juvenile second on the opening day of the season. He runs Eric Locke. He, the winner yesterday, is worth noting as well. And Ink Sketch, trained by Kevin Coleman, a trainer that's well worth following on the flat in Maiden Company. Also watch Mark and Moves. But on pedigree, I think Proudly Yours is the one definitely to be with. I'd expect the way the Lions team have kicked off 2024 flat season, they're forward, ready to go. And if this one can run to her pedigree, I think she's better than the horse with experience. Or should be better anyway. Should be better.
Proudly Yours, Ger Lyons, Colin Keane. Cassandra Goh is the dam that Trevor Stewart owns, isn't it? And she's produced a hatful of winners. But Proudly Yours making...
just like a cash machine every year, isn't it?
She is, yeah, yeah. She's had more foals than I've had hot dinners as well.
Capri of Cassandra Goh, no?
There's a rake of them. There's about half the horses running around at the moment are by Cassandra Goh or related to her. But Proudly Yours for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane. And producer Mark has been doing a study. Victoria Road never ran at Dundalk.
They don't, no. Never let the truth get in the way of a good lie, will you?
Exactly.
Halfway to Heaven, of course, is out Cassandra Goh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good filly. 5 furlong handicap. So we're staying over the 5 furlong trip, 505. Obviously, this is a little bit more open, or at least it should be. The river runs deep for Seamus O'Donnell and Jamie Heffernan. I tell you, he's making hay, isn't he? He could have 2 very good chances the first 2 races. That's the one favourite on the tissue, Fran. What do you think?
Yeah, and on Jamie Heffernan, wasn't great to see that last Sunday early in the season to knock up that Bally Sachs win at Leopardstown and the opening race for Edward O'Grady. And he just went down by what? A length, less than a length on Natalia Lupini's filly in the filly's trial. Almost rode a treble for 3 different trainers on the opening, opening weeks of the season. So it's great to see that. And he's had a lot of rides for different trainers. So another interesting dimension to the flat season. And the river runs deep. He knows his filly well. She stayed out well to win over 6 furlongs earlier in the year. But I do think 6 furlongs suits her far better than 5 furlongs. She can dominate better over 6 furlongs. Always just seems to be to the pin of her collar to try and make the running or be prominent over 5 furlongs. Just doesn't play to her strengths. Happy enough to go against her. You've got no speed limit, a pace angle in the race, as always is the case. And also, number 13, Silver Nemo, should ensure a good solid gallop along with the river runs deep. And that should play to the strengths of Phil's Dream and My Girl Sue that we put up a couple of weeks ago. Phil's Dream, he kept on well late on to be second. My Girl Sue was back in third. Pro Bone Alexander, an unexposed, well-bred filly, bolted up and as much as for the minor places. Each of them Phil streaming notes, and my girl Sue should be banging the mix again. My girl Sue in particular needs to get out of the gates better than she has done the last couple of starts. She's not from 23, hard to face into her, but she's definitely at some point going to pop up. And they are consistent, likeable horse of their own grade up here at Dundalk. But I'm going to go with a horse that makes his Irish debut, and it's number 4, Make Clear. This one is trained by Peter McCreary. Shane Foley's interesting booking for this horse, formerly with Robert Cowell, showed a lot of speed when winning at Chelmsford, or Lingfield, excuse me, on a sharp 5 furlong 2 starts ago. Just got caught in the line when last seen for Robert Cowell in early February, 5 days on from that win, having travelled really well at Chelmsford, just got nailed in a head bob late on. And I think just with the unexposed nature, I think switching to what is a pool of pretty exposed horses in Ireland, given the recent runs have come, recent winning runs have only come in the last couple of months. Shane Foley's been busy in the gallops. I hope he's been riding this one work for various trainers, been riding a lot of work. If Make Clear is strong in the market, I think it's a really interesting one in a lower grade handicap, making an Irish debut here.
Yeah, you like that angle, don't you? The ex-British horses making their all-weather debuts. Make Clear the selection in race number 2, the 505, that sprint. And Rory Tierney, of course, the agent of Shamie Heffernan, going to be a little bit busier now. He's going to do a little bit more work for his cross this year, I'd imagine. But so far, so good. Picking out some really nice rides for Shamie Heffernan. Always intrigued to see how that works. I'm sure there are some jockeys who, you might be giving, probably not the pod for it, but some jockeys who like to have a discussion about who they think they should be riding versus the agent who would have his or her own idea and how that relationship develops. But that's for another pod. We've got loads to talk about.
Cool.
Cool. Shut up, PK. Right, on to Aintree. Saturday, we're going to skip.
I'm just thinking of getting our day's wages. I have a pod now, Dundalk's finishing, you see. So
you're trying to get the Saturday pod in, little bonus. I haven't even recorded the weekend stuff yet, Fran, so no chance. But for Saturday at Aintree, I want to go through some of the races. The Grand National we'll touch on later. But a really good card. We're basing off declarations that just came through about an hour ago. And you flagged up to me, or at least you said, that's a fascinating little mazy novice hurdle. Some interesting decks there, the 155.
Yeah, isn't it just brighter days ahead, second to Golden Ace in the Mayor's Hurl at Cheltenham, of course. It was a race maybe that got away in the day, just possibly player watching rather than paying enough respect to the winner, Golden Ace, Brighter Days Ahead, Bury or Bust, and Jay DeGrugy, all of them, you know, ran to the Irish form, if you like, but obviously the winner was just a bit too good tactically on the day. Golden Ace stayed on well off slow pace to win well. Brighter Days Ahead, you think with the benefit of that run, she should be banged there again. It's fascinating, though, to see Caldwell Potter make his debut for Paul Nicholls, of course, high profile purchase in the back of that Caldwell dispersal sale back, was it in February, PK, off the top of my head, after Dublin Racing Festival, actually.
Week wasn't before, the wasn't it? The week before Dublin Racing Festival.
Monday afterwards.
Oh, the Monday after, sorry.
There you go. And look, he's beat Predator's Gold in good style when he was last seen, of course, trained by Willie Mullins. Predator's Gold, though, he was grade one placed, obviously, at the Dublin Racing Festival. He did come up short at Cheltenham, but at least he franked the form in some respect. But it'll be fascinating to see how he performs on his UK debut. And Willie Mullins said that Trainers Championship going to be fascinating. Obviously, the Grand National, which we'll speak about, is the big swing as regards prize money. But Jimmy DeSeele is definitely overpriced in this company. He's definitely a horse, I think, that is getting better at race, and he's totally unexposed at this kind of trip. And after running very well behind what could be a, you know, is a freak, is a superstar, Ballyburn. Time will tell how good he is next year, but he looks the real deal. Jimmy DeSeele just could be very good value at present. From what I can see, he's 11-2 with Paddy Power. I think there's more mileage in him, maybe. The mare stepping into open company, Caldwell Potter connections are still learning about him. It's a fascinating race. Ila L'Antique, just don't think he's the strongest finisher, but even at Aintree, a flat track might bring out the best in him. But for me, Jimmy DeSeele is definitely the one with a recent good run. He might be open to more progression.
Jimmy DeSeele. Do you see him down in the old SeaWorld, do we? Or in at the harbour, Jimmy DeSeele.
Willie Mullins calls him Jimmy DeSeele.
No, don't mind Willie Mullins. Well-known French speaker, Willie Mullins. Yeah, Jimmy DeSoy will go with.
I did hear you correcting Ruby yesterday on a couple of them in the podcast. There you go.
That's so right, yeah.
Easy to know that was done on Zoom. You weren't sitting beside him, are you?
I would happily do it when I'm sitting beside him. No bother. He gave out about, I wasn't even playing with him golf last week, and he gave out about my golf. And Jimmy DeSoy, speaking of Ruby, by the way, he was in the office on Monday to shoot Punters panel. I managed to shoot a few videos for the weekend based on entries rather than declarations, just for a few tips. And he tipped up Jimmy DeSoy, even without knowing the full field. He said he should go well. So that's a good shout, potentially. You're with Ruby there. Back to Dundalk. 5:40 on the card is race number 3. It is back to maiden company, but a median auction maiden. So sometimes the bigger yards can't run in this race. Transcending Glory, Spanish Cara, Gainari and Zara Ellis, and she Smart, all expected to be single figure prices in what does look open.
Yeah, and a crack maiden actually. Obviously, with the weather the way it's playing, six foreign maidens at this time of year at Dundalk can often cut up. This isn't. It's very, very competitive. Bada Bing, number four, has had the benefit of recent run, and dropping down a furlong and trip under normal circumstance, I'd give her every chance of being involved, but it's a stronger contest, I'd say, than what Connections were expecting. Transcending Glory, progressive last season for Johnny Murtagh, particularly at Dundalk on his last two runs, and had blinkers on last time when running his best race. They've gone back to cheap pieces here, maybe on the back for break. I think he's fresh and he should be able to do himself justice, save the blinkers for another day. He sets a good standard on his all-weather form, but you've got an English import, number 12, She's Smart, is interesting. Ran well last year at the Craven meeting for David Evans in a maiden at Newmarket. Kept on well on that occasion. First run for Aidan McGuinness. And Spanish Cara, first run for Joseph O'Brien. Well touted, well backed on track debut last year behind Buccaneer Forte in the opening juvenile contest of 2023. The race worked out well for an early season race. Take the winner out of it, the 4th, 5th, and 6th of 1, from what I can recall. And she was well touted, Spanish Cara, obviously bought by New Connections at the back of that run. Things obviously haven't been straightforward for her since then, but you'd have to respect the promise that she showed on debut. And Joseph Bryan is having a very good week. He's had two listed winners in the last week, of course, at Kempton, and Goldana winning the Heritage Stakes yesterday. So it would suggest in the main they're forward. And Spanish Cara, I think, will be popular in the market. Number 14, Zara Ellis, showed promise in both starts to date. Again, I think she's got a bit too much on with this maiden company here today. And for all that she got beat on her seasonal debut, and it would appear to be disappointing, I think number 8, Gainari, is a standout here, dropping back into maiden company, running around a bend on a sound surface, just beaten debut last year at the Curragh. She tried some tough company after his PK. She was listed second behind Grace of Thunder at Deauville at the August meeting. And she was also behind Tiger Bell in Longchamp in August.
Good form.
Great form. And I wasn't overly disappointed with her seasonal debut. You read the form and she's 8 of 18, beaten 8 lengths. She wouldn't get 7 furlongs in a horse box on heavy ground, and Connections dropped her right in. She actually travelled through the race, as you'd expect, in a good manner, but she kept on well. And from where she started in the race to where the main protagonists were, she never lost ground and she wasn't knocked about. So I'm prepared to give her the benefit of doubt for that run. I think getting back around a bend, going around a bend, inside draw stall, one a sound surface. Gainari, for all that she would appear to be a little bit regressive, I'm going to go with her in all-weather debut here. And I do think with the makeup of the race, when you put Spanish Cara, Zara Ellis, and the Johnny Murtagh train, Transcending Glory in the race, she could weaken in the market and end up being good value.
Gainari, who's got a really strong rating of 93 here, and if she runs to that, she should win that form of Tiger Bell. I don't have my Breeders' Cup Tiger Bell hat to hand. I wish I did, but I was looking around for it. I was like, can I see it? Where is it?
I thought you were looking for a burger or something.
Yeah, no, I was looking for the Breeders' Cup Tiger Bell hat. Yeah, she's stayed out in the States, Tiger Bell, now, so she was bought out of the 8-0 team, but she was always for sale. So job done. Yeah, shrewd lot that. Right, 10 past 6 is 7 furlong handicap stepping up in Trip gradually on Friday evening. Top weight El Bello and Ferrybank. Ferrybank is in great form for Ted Walsh, who's looking for 3 wins last 4 starts. Probable favourite, Ferrybank, in Ted's wife's colours.
Yeah, and probably got away well to get left in the same grade of a 65 handicap, won really well last time interesting. All of his wins have come with wide draws at Dundalk in recent starts. He was stalled 15 last time. He was stalled 14 when he won 3 starts ago. And guess where he is tomorrow?
15.
Stalled 15. Boom. Job done. Not an easy horse to get right. And Billy Lee rides it very well. He likes to keep wider horse, and the further he goes and the more space he seems to get, he gains in confidence. And look, you would not rule him out off his current rating in the same grade. He's on a roll, and also with the wide draw, he's got a good setup for his style of racing. I just haven't been with him when he's won any day, and I'm a little bit apprehensive going into face him. And I do think there's a couple of interesting horses to take him on. Tynamite was third behind him last time. The way the race panned out, finished off really well, but had no chance of picking up Furry Bank, who was prominent off slowing off fractions. And the Cola Brazil equally wasn't suited by the way the race developed. Each of them could get closer to Furry Bank. And number 5, Cherry Pink, some point she may pop up to win a race. She can be too keen on occasions. I just got a £10 claiming rider taken over, so that lead will work really well for her in connections, or might just bomb out completely, might maybe do too much. And PK, you know, I love a class dropper at Dundalk. Number 1, El Bello, is really interesting. 2 wins at this track back in November. He won off a rating of 62. He won off then a week later off a rating of 68. Went up in the weights, and as a consequence of 4 or 5 poor runs, he's dropping right down in grade back into the 65 bracket here for the first time since them wins in November. He's got cheap pieces on, and he's got Daniel King taken off £5. And El Bello just has a really good look to him for me. with Daniel King, who's won on him in the past, taking the ride. And I just think the class drop could be a huge factor for him. And I think, given that I haven't been with Furry Bank, and he may not get things all his own way on the front end, even with that wide draw, El Bello could be well supported, and I'm happy to go with him, take my chance that he can bounce back to his winning form that he had in November.
Should be a price too. He's double figures on the tissue anyway, so let's hope for something similar. He's had a few trainers, El Bello, hasn't he? He was owned by the Amo Racing team. Marco Botti.
Somebody just pulls up in a Jeep and collect a trailer, bring him on.
Here so. Marco Botti, Wolford, Adrian Joyce, Philip Byrne, now with Dennis Hogan. So he's been around the houses, El Bello. Let's see if he can get a victory in the 10 past 60. 12th of July, Ladies' Day at Dundalk. Not the only thing that's going on Dundalk on the 12th of July. A lot of people coming south of the border for the card. It's one of the more popular meetings, but Ladies' Day. Speaking of Ladies' Day, Francis Berry, you were at Leopardstown on Student Day on Wednesday, and there on your socials, I see you on some sort of a glam cam shine. Yeah. I don't know, Sheen. We explain this to me. Explain. What on earth is this?
There's no explaining. Just don't. Don't volunteer for anything like that is my advice, because you end up looking very cringy and stupid. But Leopardstown asked me to do it, and I said I wouldn't do it on my own. So Keir, the works for Leopardstown, jumped in. So there you go. It's gone viral, PK.
Has it? Well, you put it up on your own socials, Fran.
Well, so what do you do? You got to go with these things when they don't work out. Even when they work out, you're happy to do it. So apart from that, Leopardstown was very, very good yesterday. Good racing, good card, some good results on the track, but great crowd. Great crowd. Over 10,000 tickets sold, and 10,000 tickets sold. You never seen anything like the front of the stands, the betting ring, the sun came out, and it was jammed. Really good atmosphere. Good to see Student Day Limerick here today, and not everyone's cup of tea, but whether put in at the right days of the week or whatever you want to say, they can work very, very well. Normal meeting like that to be, 1,000 people maybe left some at a push, I'm guessing, you know. So fair play, and it was great. It was on, and Goldana won really well. And Galileo Dame, trained by Joseph Bryan, won the opening maiden. Could be a nice prospect. Maybe she's ground dependent, but a filly definitely that could keep progressing this season.
If they did abandon the meeting, or if they had to have abandoned the meeting, let's say they gave it, you know, they pushed it back to 12, we'll have another look at 12 or something like that. I would imagine 90% of those students would have turned up anyway and just would have gone like, oh, there's no racing on, grand, sure, open the bars, will be fine.
Yeah, put on a bit of virtual on the big screen or something.
Perfect, how you're talking. Well, there's a Paddy Power shop there. We throw in a few races. They can watch Sedgefield and Hexham and everything else that's going on. I know that some in the industry kind of like, crib them. I can understand why it's like, oh, it's a bit annoying trying to work, but I think they're great.
Yeah, but if you don't get people in the door and have a good day, you know, at an age, when are they going to get in? You know, it's very important. I know the Friday Punchestown can be a bit like that. It's a younger crowd, but look, the 400 days of Punchestown that you can have it to yourself and do what you want. But I think it's very, very important. The Friday Galway is the same. You know, it's great. And
amazing. That's become the big day now, isn't it? The Friday Galway.
It is the biggest day, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of turnout, yeah.
And Ladies' Day in Aintree, of course, tomorrow, PK.
Ladies' Day everywhere. You've got them all marked in your calendar at this stage. You'd be on producer Mark says Fran for Dancing with the Stars. Would you give it a go?
When I get well-oiled, I do try and dance at a couple of things, and no, it's not pretty, so definitely not. Not for any money, but I'm open to negotiations.
Exactly. You saw Davey went deep. I'm sure you could give it a go. That's two jockeys already. You've got been on Nina. Sorry, Councillor Nina Carberry. I don't know what we call her now at this stage, but
MEP potentially. You know,
MEP potential MEP. Yeah. Those who don't know, she's going for a career in politics. Nina Carberry. Best of luck to her. Right, we'll go back from politics, Ladies' Day dancing to Dundalk. We will get to the Grand National. Don't worry, we'll get to the Grand National. But I want to talk about what probably is the most interesting maiden on the card. Dundalk, the 6:45, and Ryan Moore is in town Friday and Saturday. Sure, you can give him a lift back home, get him to the Chinese for a bit of crack after racing on Friday. Igor Stravinsky is his mount. There are two for Aidan. Wayne Lorden rides Monday, and as we've seen already in the early stage of the season, Ryan Moore may be on the best one. Sometimes it goes off a very big price if you go back to Leopardstown on the big trials day, but sometimes he's on the wrong one. We'll see what happens there. Dollarina brings a rating of 100 here for Joseph O'Brien and Dylan Brown McMonagall. This is a good maiden, Fran.
It is good maiden, and you know, the on-race horses are very interesting on breeding. As you said, Aidan has got two in the race. Mundy, non-runner yesterday due to the ground at Leopardstown, backs up here in the poly track by Galileo out of Meow. Great pedigree as well. And obviously the choice of Ryan Moore, or the stable pick of Ryan Moore, if you like, could be more apt. Igor Stravinsky, known in Evercold, he makes his debut, and he's out of Hermosa, who won the Irish Guineas under Ryan Moore, from what I can recall looking up here this morning. And a very good mare in her own right. And I think with the jockey bookings, I'm more inclined, given Monday was very light in the market on debut 2 days ago in the overnight market, I think I'd be more inclined to go with the Ryan Moore train or ridden Igor Stravinsky, just based on his pedigree. He's bred to be a bit sharper than Monday, perhaps on debut. And I don't like tipping up debutants, but I'm going to go with Igor Stravinsky because I know that Dollarina will be very, very popular in the market. She's got really good juvenile form. Second to Ylang Ylang on debut to Carl last year. Got no luck in running in the debutant down towards the inside behind First Portillo. And, you know, probably got caught out by very soft ground when running behind Caught You Looking on in the Wild Stakes. She did went to France and ran in Deauville and ran a good race. Went third in Group 3 company. She'd be very popular in the betting, but PK, there's a couple of reasons I'm just going to go against her. Her family, her Geraldine's trainer, half-sister, and she only ever won twice, and that was as a juvenile. And a number of members of her progeny have had the best form as two-year-olds. And she's by territory. Sorry, not a big fan of his record on the poly track in the UK with runners is not great at all. I think it's a 7% record from what I can see. And as a consequence to that, for all the stable going really well, Dollarina, I think from a wide draw, is worth taking on. Shooting in the dark a bit with a debutant with Igor Stravinsky, I'm going to go with Hope to Market Strong with him, given the stable form at Dundalk. But I just have a niggle about Dollarina training off 2-3 for all that she's dropping into maiden company. But I just think it's an angle worth pursuing.
Fair enough.
Until we're on the side of the road.
It sounds like you're digging up a little bit. Okay, I'm trying to move on there, Brad. So Igor Stravinsky is the selection. Dollarina taking her on. Mundy, as you mentioned, beautifully bred, is a full brother or sister. What is Mundy? Well, he's a brother. So he's a full brother to Churchill, Clemmy, Blenheim Palace, all those really good horses at Ballydoyle. So interesting to see how he goes on debut. But Wayne Lorden rides.
And one other well-bred debutant, Take Profit Air by Ra et al as well, runs number 10, yeah.
Okay, so a lot to look for. Luke Homer, yeah. Well-bred, is he? What? Hang on, that's a Luke Homer horse. That can't be well-bred, you rat at all. I mean, he's probably had two winners, has he? Maybe at 100. If you backed every one of his horses, you're probably still in profit.
They'd have to polytrack, though.
Yeah, here's some boy, yo. Luke Homer. I mean, I don't know if Luke listens to this, but anyway, we'll move on. He's had more winners than I've had, so there you go.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, that was a 6:45. Let's go to Aintree. Let's go to the Grand National. Everyone going to be having a couple of quid in the big race with only 34 runners on this occasion, but your luck. As we talk on Thursday, still in the morning, Cora Rambler is drifting a little bit, 8-5-1. I am Maximus, 7-1, advised by Franberry at a much bigger price. 8-1, Meeting of the Waters, 9-1, Vanillier, and then double figure odds, your remainder, including Kitty's Lighthouse. He's now 11-1, so he's been backed. Right, Fran, give us the winner, the second, the third, and the fourth, please, the Grand National.
Not a problem at all, PK. Yeah, hopefully a couple of viewers are on I Am Maximus pre that Bobby Joe Chase when it was 20 or 25-1, I think, off the in around that anyway.
Slip.
So
check your bet slip.
I didn't back him. I missed it. Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I got sidetracked with Dundalk and something else that weekend and missed a price, but got plenty of thumbs up messages from people when he won. So there you go. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And if he takes the Grand National fences and he can lie up in the first mile, he's got a big engine, as we know. And Paul Townend, first time he's ridden since the Irish Grand National last year, and he gave him a great ride to win. Big player as well. Mark Walsh obviously had a very tough choice between Meeting in the Waters. Ruby's very keen on Capitano, interesting enough. He's been beating that drum and he can see the angle at bigger prices. And Mark obviously had him, Limerick Lace and Meeting of the Waters to take into account. I like Limerick Lace. Now, we haven't had a mare win since 1952, was it? Nicol Coyne was the last winner of the Aintree Grand National. But there has been a number of horses placed from limited evidence. Mare's placed, Jess Carrington's mare placed Tiger Roll a couple of years ago.
Magic of Light.
Magic of Light being the most recent example. And given the form of Gavin Cromwell's stable, the testing ground, her pedigree would suggest she's going to get better with distance. I thought she won with a good degree of authority over 2.5 miles at the Cheltenham Festival, beating Dina Blue, who's a proper grade one mare in her own right. Down towards the bottom of weights, Limerick Lace going to beat the books, if you like, as regards the mare winning the Grand National. Mark Walsh hopefully will be on the right one. Back in second place, Panda Boy, Martin Brazel, 19 years on from number 6, Valverde, winning, will run a cracker as well. Really good run at Leopardstown over hurdles on his most recent run behind Maxim in the part times qualifier. And I, Maximus, just gets outpaced early on, but keeps on well to be third, running a stormer for Paul Townend as well. And bringing up the rear guard for the English trained runners is Galea de Toe, trained by, you're probably going to correct my pronunciation, but trained by the Skeltons and ridden by the Skelton, of course. And that one will keep on to be fourth to salvage a bit of pride for the home team.
That was pretty good effort. Galea de Toe. Yeah, no, it was grand. Not Galea de Toe, but sure, look, we won't split hairs.
I'm from Clare. Go on.
So it's going to be a win for JP McManus, but with Limerick Lace, so Mark Walsh has got it right, according to Frank. Has he ever had a stronger hand at JP going into a national? I mean, it is
bidding for his third Grand National, is it?
Don't put, you should, you'd know, I was going to go, don't push it.
It is, Manila Times.
Oh yeah, Manila Times, COVID. Don't remember anything during COVID. Sorry. Don't remember it. Who rode him? No one remembers that.
For JP to win the race is probably the bet, but I'm sure it's no
I'd
price
say it's
at all.
Probably, I was thinking about it, I was wondering what kind of price it'll be.
I actually backed a horse to be in the first 10 on Monday, believe it or not, so there you go,
And the name of the horse is?
Galea de Toe. So there you go.
It's Galea de Toe. My God. Okay. Just to be in the first 10.
4-1 to be in the first 10. A couple of my friends are backing him or her at 4-1.
Pretty sure.
4-1. So at 4-1 for the race. So I thought 4-1 for first 10 would be okay.
All right. Delving into the extra markets, good man Fran, always looking for an angle. So there's his thoughts on the Grand National. Best luck at your best. We are 6 places each way, as you probably know at this stage. But Fran's giving you 1, 2, 3, 4 there, so you can do the tri-cast.
Just keep sitting, Harry. Think of 10 place. Think 10 place.
Well, he's very good at just sitting, isn't he? Yeah.
He's got better.
To be fair, he has. He's doing okay, isn't he? That skeleton fella.
He was sitting on Langer Dang all winter.
We'll see if that gets left in the pot for producer Mark. All right, so let's go to the 7:15 and a fair play to the Dundalk team. They're starting to think outside the box of the race titles. There is Greyhound racing every weekend. because there's not much racing left in Dundalk for the next few months, but there is Greyhound racing. And this is a mile and a quarter and change handicap. Looking at the market, or sorry, the not the market, but the tissue gesture, maybe favour Owen O'Neill and Shane Foley. Of course, Owen O'Neill reverted from France a couple of seasons ago. He's had a few winners since. Dusty Foley rides. There's a few handicap debutants, as you would expect with a three-year-old handicap. But who do you fancy, Fran?
Yeah, O'Neill, obviously his second year back in Ireland after being in France for a long time. He trained in Newmarket prior to that. I actually rode a Group 3 winner from when he was first season trainer in Newmarket. Yeah, it's good to see him back. He's got a team on the car now. So Gesture really relished to step up and trip and winning here last time over course and distance. He was just beat at Sudl on his previous run over a mile. And since that step up and trip, he kept on really well to beat Western City, who was a 1-4 favourite back in third place. Good performance. He's out of a Galileo mare, so stepping up and trip on the polytrack seemed to suit him very well. Would not rule him out again off a £4 higher mark PK. Sets a good standard, but there's a couple of potential improvers in this. Number 4, Nadita, trained by Dave Marlane, is interesting. For all that, I'm not sure about 10.5 furlongs at this stage of his career, but he's definitely a horse to think of his opening mark that is better than his bare form. He just got hampered late on at the track here last time and keeping on well to be 4 behind Western City. Number 7, Cloud Seeker, is a horse quite well bred for going up and trip. He had 3 runs at the back end of last season, 2 of them at the back end of last season. And Waystar is also one trained by John McConnell by postponed. She may well improve for stepping up and trip into handicaps this season, but has a good bit more on here. And I think Galician Girl, trained by Adam McGuinness, is the one to be with. Both her and the top weight, of course, Gesture, won the track in recent weeks. But Galician Girl was a ready winner last time. She showed promise in each of her previous starts at the All Weather, and she travelled strongly to come through and win really well over a mile last time. Another 2.5 furlongs to cope with here, but she settles well. She was very strong at the line last time over the mile distance and off an £9 higher mark. I think there's more improvement to come from her. She's got a good draw to track Gesture, who's a likely pace angle in stall 2. She'll be coming out of stall 1. I can see Adam Caffrey just stalking the pace behind Gesture, and I do think, for all their respect to top weight Gesture, Galician Girl is open to more improvement, a bit more improvement than Gesture, who may well have just got things a little bit his own way last time in a small runner field.
Yeah, okay. Galician Girl for Adam McGuinness. Watch out for that one. Elijah flagged up Cloud Seeker there, son of Massar. We don't see too many of them, do we? We don't see too many of the Derby winner, Massar, and in those Pat Garvey silks. I always think of those in Sunshine Street running fourth in the Derby, and I had my £2 each way in them. At 250-1, and he was fourth.
High Rise win it, no?
High Rise may have won that one, yeah. I think that was at Pellier, wasn't it? For Luke Manny, yeah. Never forget it, yeah.
Beat John Reid and City Honours, maybe, off the top of my head, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, City Honours and the White Cap of Godolphin. What was the other one then, the second?
Was City Honours, was it?
Oh, that was second, and
yeah, I think so, yeah. I think so.
Very good. Good knowledge of the Derby. We'll get to the Derby. We might have you on for the Derby. We might get you back on.
It's the Derby, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good race. Won by a good horse last season. Didn't the winner of the Dubai Gold Cup win it last season? Tara London.
You know? Tara London, he did, yeah. He did.
Good race. No, don't knock it. You're full of jibes today. You pour out Luke Homer and Harry Skelton getting it. Now you're giving it out to the Ulster Derby.
Fresh.
Well, you shouldn't be fresh. This is our last show of the bloody season.
Ulster Derby is a very good race, and it's always nice to be there. So.
Yeah, exactly. You're thinking, wait, will I be doing that race now in Racing TV? There's a good chance I will, actually.
I actually backed a second in it, trained by Michael Bell last year. So there you go. His name Abrahamovich,
was it?
Yeah, and he's gone to Australia. So there you go.
Well, who hasn't at this stage? Yeah. Who hasn't? If you're rated 90, between 90 and 100, and you stay past a mile, go to Australia, you'll make money. Right, 7:45, a handicap, mile and a quarter, first division of it, low grade, folks, 0-65. Darkened, a recent winner for Noel Kelly and Killian Leonard. Explorer's Way for Pat Martin and Jack Carney are the two in-form horses, Fran, and are they the two to focus on?
Yeah, not a lot of strength and depth in this Division 1 of the 10 furlong handicap, and I do think that is the race to concentrate on last time. Darkened, not an easy horse to get right to win. He's often threatened to be better than his rating, but he stayed on well under Killian Leonard despite drifting left under pressure to get up and retain the lead from Anja, who did finish off well as well. Anja, Shane Foley got a good tune out of him last time. He was drawn wide on that occasion. He's got a much kinder draw on this occasion, midfield draw. So conceivably he could overturn the run with Dark, and who's not the most reliable horse to win and back up a win, if you like. So both of them set a good standard recent form, but it's the horse PK that was 5 lengths exactly behind Dark, and obviously 4 3/4 lengths behind Anja. Power Drive, that is really interesting to me. He came out stalled 14 on that occasion, and he's a multiple winner to track over 10.5 furlongs and also 1.5. All of his wins come when he makes the running. Last time he dwelled start in rear, kept on towards near side, final furlong, nearest finish. And Dylan Brown McMonagall wasn't born that occasion. He's fully 11 pounds lower than his last winning mark. He's got a much kinder draw here on Friday night in comparison to last time when he's drawn in stall number 2. And for me, he screams Last Chance Saloon, Dundalk last weekend of racing there. This is his chance to win. He's got a great setup. He's way down the weights. I'd expect him to be a lot more prominent than he was last week when they last ran. And for me, he's going to be the value here, taking on the horse that were ahead of him. One horse worthy of note, and I was quite attracted to him by his form, but I'm happy to watch him here on Irish debut. Number 5, Explorer's Way. Good winner, Newcastle, a couple of starts ago for Brian Ellison. Ran a good race in a higher grade handicap when beat Newcastle last time. Interesting horse for new connections, but I do think Power Drive could be a springer in the market, and he is just down to mark where he may well strike again for Paul Flynn and co.
Masters weekend, Power Drive could be an apt winner on the Friday. I've got the extra place races for you, Fran. I know you're a great man for nabbing that filthy each way. So 5:05, 6:10, 7:15, 7:45, which is the race we just talked about, and the 8:15 all get the extra place treatment. So that's 5 races on the card at Dundalk on Friday night. So 5:05, 6:10, 7:15, 7:45, and 8:15, which includes that race. And the final race in the card, which is the 8:15, which is the second division of the same handicap. We mentioned Noel Kelly's got a chance in the first division with Dark, and he's also got a chance with Sky Legend in the second division. Joey Sheridan will ride the top weight. Other horses in form include Hurricane Helen. There's Luke Comer with a runner, Rock Basher, who was a good second 2 starts ago, disappointed his favourite last night. And Peter Lawler's Numidia is somewhat consistent at this level. It is the final race we're going to talk about as part of Fridays with Fran for the 2023-2024 season. Fran, give us a winner to go out on.
Right, we're going to go with Johnny Murta, number 4, Balia Lockeriach. I've lost money in this horse in his last, not his last run, but his run at Down Royal. I had a good go at him, and he caught the eye in a decent maiden in Navan last March behind Drum Roll. He's only beaten 10 lengths in mid-division on that occasion. Definitely one I thought it was going to make hay in handicaps as the year went on when he got up in trip. He did run a good race at Down Royal, like 5:14, beaten less than 6 lengths, and there was no market support from that occasion. He was also just behind Barrettstown, who is a reliable horse, and some older horse on that occasion. I don't think we ever seen the best from last year on testing ground. He tongue tie on him on one occasion. The fact connections have kept him in training. He's dropped down 12 pounds of the weights since making his handicap debut last year. He's only had 8 starts. He's at by Siouni. He's out of a Teofilo Mayor. That would suggest that his sound surface, like the poly track, should suit very well. And Ben Cohn rides him for the first time. And for me, just given where he's coming from, Johnny Murta's had a couple of winners at Dundalk this year already, and he had a couple obviously run well to turf. I think he's really interesting, and I think I'm going to go with him again. He's got a good draw in stall number 7. The fact he persevered with him from 3 to 4, he's down to weights, having shown ability in maidens. For me, I'm going to go with him. He just could be a different class in this grade to the likes of Sky Legend, who was a good winner of a claimer recently. Brave Thought, Barrettstown, both likeable horses, both have a good record, the track running well. And Numidia, number 12, worthy of a mention too, good course record, winner at the track, and has a good record fresh, and I would respect her. But Bolly Lockeriach, I'm going to go with him one more time on the poly track on seasonal debut down in grade here.
And double figure on the tissue. That would be a way to final send us out into the summer. If Bolly Lockeriach, aka Lockeray.
Well, if he's double figures there tomorrow night, we're in trouble. That's the way I look at it.
Okay, fair enough. You want to see market support, but you want to take the double figures if they become available and then see market support would be ideal. That's what you want to see. Bally Lockeria, Johnny Murta, Ben Cohen, as you said, combining in the second division of the concluding handicap on the card. Right, I won't let you go before we get into naps and next bests. I had one other thing to talk about. What was the other thing we were going to talk about?
Highlights of the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what are your highlights of the Dundalk season, if there are any? Or lowlights, seeing as you're more interested in sending a few jabs people's way. What are the lowlights of the season?
No, it's been a really good winter again. A longer winter this year, and perhaps than what most people are expecting, given the weather the last 6 weeks. But really enjoyable. I love it up there, as in it gets you through the winter. It gives you a really good purpose on a Friday night, and people get a good enjoyment from it on dark evenings. So I hope people enjoyed it. And lowlight was that our Chinese went downhill so badly we had to stop going there. But we found another restaurant, PK. So we found a good Asian restaurant at Ace that actually stays open till we get there. So Lemongrass and Ace will give you a shout out, the sponsor at the Punchestown Festival leading rider as well. So that's quite appropriate. That definitely was the highlight, because getting a McDonald's takeaway at the airport, it wasn't just the same on a Friday night. So there you go.
Not sure that says a lot for, you know, jockeys, up and coming jockeys and trainers who've had a few winners, that you've decided that Lemongrass Restaurant at Ace is the highlight of the Dundalk season. But hey, look, that's what you've decided. The belly has spoken. Yourself and Kevin O'Ryan getting stuck in. It's a shame when your favourite Chinese goes downhill. It can happen. It can happen.
Yeah. No, and when it stopped taking cards and there's only cash.
Oh, cash only.
Yeah. So
wonder why. It always raises an eyebrow when someone goes cash only.
That chicken tasted a bit funny last time too.
No, we had no takings last month. I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Taxman. Right. So that was the highlight. Food. Well done. Right. But there is that Saturday card to watch out for as well. Ryan Moore sticking around, which is eye-catching, and a few interesting maidens. Don't forget, Fran's best bet in the Grand National is Limerick Lace, which is interesting. Mark Walsh and Fran Berry in cahoots. Go on then. Did Mark Walsh choose that? Come on, Fran. Did Mark Walsh choose to ride her, or was he told? Go on. Give us the inside track.
No, had the choice of all of them from what I can gather. Tough one. Where do you go?
Barry.
Yeah, Ian Maximus, obviously he's no real association with him, but obviously a really good horse in his top class horse in his own right. For all that, he can be tricky. Meeting the waters, I thought the ultimate run was a really good Grand National trial, and given he was hampered on seat at the Dublin Racing Festival, the Ultima was nearly like his prep run for the Grand National on the back of that mishap at the Dublin Racing Festival. But Limerick Lace down the bottom of the weights, she's got to defy history as a mare winning the race. But quite interesting, Ruby keeps going back to Capodanno. I can see the angle with him after that great run in the Ryanair, but it looks like a very strong team for JP McManus. But I hope Limerick Lace, who is even at present still a good price, 16-1 currently, was she this morning?
I think she's shortened a little bit. I'm cycling through the specials now. There is a price on JP to own the winner of the Grand National.
7-4.
Bigger.
Really?
Yeah, keep going. A fair bit bigger. 11-4.
Fair price.
There you go. I'm going to ask for your nap at Dundalk, and I've got a feeling it's going to be the menu number 634 on Lemongrass and then double it up with JP McManus to own the national winner. But let's see how we go. Best for Friday night, Fran Berry. What are we thinking at Dundalk on Friday, the day before the national? Let's boost the coffers.
Okay, going to take a swing at Gennari in race three. I think given she was disappointing to the form-wise behind, on her season debut on testing ground, she had very good juvenile form and good ground, and I think she shaped okay on her seasonal debut. Stall one, sound surface, running around the bend. I'll give her one go on the all-weather. I do think she could be hard to beat and get off the mark belatedly in that third race. So that's the Nat PK. But we have a couple of value selections, so we're going to go with them. We'll stick in El Bello, race four, who should be decent value. Dual winner to track in November. Drops back down in grade after a few on promising runs, if you like, in recent starts. Back to his ideal trip. He could be decent value in race four. Race seven, Power Drive, really interesting. I think way down the weights, has a low draw and could bounce back to his best in race seven. And Bolia Lockeria for Johnny Morta, an unexposed four-year-old in the lower grade, showed enough last year on occasions that he should be competitive up here in this grade of race. If he's ever going to win with Ben Cohen on, he's a big player here. Each of them should be each way value. We put him in as an each way travel as well.
Excellent stuff. So Gennari, the Nap in the 540, the Each Way Treble, El Bello 615, Paradrive 745, and Ballylockria in the 815. And I'm fairly confident I said all of those are extra place races. I don't have the races in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I did.
You are actually, yeah, marked them. Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Oh, you've already got them marked. Didn't take you long. Load of specials on Paddy Power website, actually. I'm just cycling through them. Definitely listen to you, Fran. I am. underneath the JP Manus to own the winner, which was 11-4, an Irish Train 1234 is the same price. And obviously you think, as you called her, Galia de la Toe is going to ruin that. But they've also, I think it's just one of those things.
I just want that one to first 10. So that's kind
of... Well, actually, yeah, you'll take 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th, or 10th. This is just one of those things that happens, I think, when you create these specials. It's not necessarily the way that Paddy Power have editorialized it, but it appears as a great British trained 1-2 in the National. A great British trained 1-2 in the National? Could have just gone British, lads. Could have just gone...
Does that include Cork Rambler then in Scotland? Or is
It would British. Yeah. That's only 3-1. Oh my God, I back the other
really?
Side. Thanks. Yeah. Well, they do have good chances at the top of the market. But anyway, look, load of specials. Fran, it's been a delight, an honor, a privilege to have you in my Zoom afternoon every Thursday or thereabouts. I'm sure we'll get you on a few podcasts on the weekend tipping over the course of the summer. I'd like you know, if you back, tell you what, we'll know Fran's on if he's back having a bad time in the punting when he appears back on the weekend. You'll need to send an invoice to producer Mark. So that's when we'll know what's happening.
We'll be blaming bad draws of the turf season. And on that, actually, PK, just an interesting bet for people through the season. Champion jockey market, Colin Keane is 2-5 with Paddy Power, of course. Billy Lee, runner up the last couple of years, 7-2. But Dylan Brown McMonagall, if anyone wants a bet that will give you an interest through the season, currently 6-1. That's a bet that could give you plenty of mileage through the year.
There you go. All right, we'll touch base. We might get you on for that July 12th meeting. Who knows? but we might get you on for that. If not, I'm sure we'll get you on for some other stuff. Sorry, you lost the job at Down Royal. Apologies. That's a shame. I just heard that now. They've been on. Yeah, you're not allowed to do any races.
I'm going training for Luke Comer anyway. So that's all good.
Jim Gorman will be in touch. No more advice sent regarding Luke Comer breeding horses. Fran, have a wonderful summer. I'm sure we'll be in touch. We'll get you on the weekend tipping pods. Enjoy the weekend. Are you going on Saturday as well at Dundalk?
I am Friday, Saturday, and Down Royal on Sunday, PK.
Bonus! So. Oh my God, you're going to be so rich at the end of the weekend. Were you due to go up to Ballyshane, were you?
I was, yeah.
Grand, okay. No.
So all booked in, yeah. So I'll be looking at the Grand National and straight into the two-year-old race down at Dundalk, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, enjoy your weekend, Fran, and we'll be chatting to you, no doubt, before we come round again to 2024-2025 season at Dundalk. We must get you signed on the dotted line for that one. Listen, have a good one, Fran.
PK, thank you.